May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In a time of increased anxiety, I've been pondering what the building blocks are for joy. I ask myself, what gives me real joy? I wonder, what gives you real joy? For me, it's often the times with family or friends when we've been doing something fun together, when laughter has come easily and contentment is high. And there have been times in lockdown when that feeling has been far away. But it's not really that straightforward either, for there have been times when all things have pointed to joy and I've not felt it, and other times when I've felt joy in the most unlikely moments. So as I turn to these texts we have for what is often called Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of joy, I've been looking to see what they say are the building blocks of joy. When I went to our reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, I saw a couple of things. Firstly, I saw a challenge to rejoice at all times. Rejoice in the Lord always. And this is so important that Paul repeats himself. Again, he says, I will tell you, rejoice. It's not a word we use that often in everyday talk, but to rejoice means simply to experience joy. And that's not a pie-in-the-sky kind of joy. Paul was probably writing this while under house arrest in Rome. It was not an easy time. He was living out of the reality of choosing joy, even when in a kind of lockdown, when things were difficult. And then Paul goes on with this kind of assumed link that once you choose this way of joy, then your gentleness will be evident to all. Joy is linked firstly to gentleness. And I suspect for a man like Paul, being held under house arrest, the choice to be gentle would have had its challenges. And Paul then explains the link. God is near. And because God is near, we don't need to be anxious about things, even in lockdown, even when things are looking pretty bad. Paul's joy was not dependent on circumstances. Instead, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, talking to God about what is troubling you, that will lead to a peace that transcends understanding and will guard our hearts and minds. The way to joy, the building blocks for joy, are for Paul grounded in this awareness that God is near. And when anxiety comes, we can offer it to God in order to find the peace that we don't understand, but that somehow will guard our hearts and minds so we don't go further down those paths of anxiety. Paul is not saying that anxiety won't happen. He's offering a way through it, a path back to joy. And then in Isaiah, another song of joy, we read about the way we are to draw water from the wells of our salvation with joy. What's that talking about? The first verse, though, is clear, that salvation, it says, is God. The Lord is our salvation. So to draw water from the wells of salvation is to make some effort to be refreshed, to be replenished by God. Like someone who is thirsty coming to a well and able to pull up fresh cold water and drink. And that is done with joy. It is done in praise. It leads us to make what we discover known to all the world. Again, the reality of joy is linked with the nearness of God. Here it confronts not our anxiety, but our thirst. Both writers acknowledge human reality. We will get thirsty. We will feel anxious. But as we recognise how close God is to us, we find our way to joy. Our society often suggests that we will find joy when we own certain things, or when we have a certain job with certain income, or when we have certain relationships, when we get married, when we have children. But in reality, we all know that those things don't necessarily bring joy in and of themselves. We've all known people with all those things, and they've not been able to find real joy. And we've all known people who have found joy without those things. So then we come to our reading from Zephaniah.
You can come and get it, Katie.
In your bags, kids, is a ball, and that's your joy ball, and you can take it home with you, okay? Cool. Then we come to our reading from Zephaniah. calling us to rejoice. And again, the reason to rejoice is that God is with you. That is what will overcome your fear. That is what will give you the energy. God is near. But more than that, Zephaniah adds that God delights in you. God delights in you. God loves you so much that God delights in you. God is already rejoicing over you with singing. Isn't that an amazing image? God is so delighted with us that God is singing over us. And then there is the prophet's promise that God will bring healing and restoration and eventually bring us home. Our rejoicing is to join in the rejoicing of God. And so then finally, our gospel reading from Luke. And we meet John the Baptist out there in the wilderness where people were gathering to hear him and be baptized by him. And we hear him calling them snakes, calling them to repent. But unlike the people on Queen Street the other night who seemed to focus on people who didn't know God and the belief in the end of the world being near, John is speaking to the people of faith, and he's saying that their actions need to fit their words. You can't just say because you come from this family or from this church or from this faith community that everything's okay. You need to live accordingly. You need to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And remember that repentance is that change of direction that we experience when we decide to follow God. John was addressing the people of faith and telling them that the fruit they produce is what counts. So the people respond. They ask, what do we need to do? And John is clear. The fruit that is in keeping with repentance is basic. Share what you have. Don't take more than what's fair. Don't accuse others falsely. Be content with what you have. John was telling this, exhorting them to live good lives in preparation for the coming of Jesus. This call to live out our faith is because God is near. I think at times we have this image of John as a bit of a madman, but I suspect there was a lot more to him. Why else would the crowds have gone out to find him in the wilderness and be baptized by him? Yes, he was fervent, but I think we might underestimate his joy. A joy rooted in the deep belief that God was near. A joy that drew people. In the Greek, the word for rejoice is kairo, a word related to charis, which is the word for grace. And kairo is used in three different ways. Firstly, it's a word used as a greeting or a farewell, like we say cheers or go well. It's the way we interact with people in our coming and our going. Secondly, it's used to describe an attitude, a way we think out how we're going to live our and how we are in our being. And then thirdly, it's used to describe a behaviour, a fruit we produce. And John is clear on this. We need to live in ways of sharing and truthfulness and justice. And like the people listening to John, we too need to ask, what does that mean we need to do? What does it mean for the way we interact with people in our coming and our going? What does it mean for our attitude? And what does it mean for our behaviour? Live out your repentance. Live out this new way that you've chosen to go, however old the way is. Share what you have. Don't cheat. Don't bully. Simple, but not so simple. The building blocks of joy, those basics, gentleness, prayer and peace for anxiety and fear, knowing how much God loves us and delights in us, and letting that lead us to gratitude, choosing to act in ways that show the journey we have chosen to be on, that shows we have repented, we have chosen a different way, and have been called to live accordingly. Joy lived in our coming and going, in our attitude, and in our behaviour. Christian joy does not depend on our circumstances. The source is eternal. Joy is a special kind of happiness which wells from very deep springs. It's not superficial or fickle, and even a little child may know it. It can embrace the fullness of our experience, overflows in time, and yet it is the stuff of eternity. So as we journey on this often hectic and fast lane to Christmas, We need to take some deep breaths of the Spirit and journey with hope and peace and joy. Real joy that lets yourself be found by the generous, supreme love of God in Jesus Christ. To know that love of God, to be treasured and cherished by the very Spirit who is the source of our existence. To overcome the anxiety which so often surrounds us and find the freedom of being a beloved child of God. Joy that knows that in success or failure, sickness or health, poverty or wealth, youth or old age, living or dying, our lives are in the hands of amazing grace. So be it. Amen.